Ask someone who is not a farmer what the practices of farming are. There's a good chance they'll start with plowing. But you can grow crops on the landscape without disturbing the soil much, and that approach is gaining ground under the banner of regenerative agriculture. Regenerative farming is all about the soil, keeping it healthy and able to grow the things we want from it. Our guest knows soil very well and travels the country boosting regenerative farming. Ray Archuleta visited the Rogue Valley a couple of weeks ago. He's a certified professional soil scientist who spent 3 decades with the Federal Natural Resources Conservation Service, and he's the co-founder of Understanding Ag and a separate outfit called Soil Health Academy. Ray Archuleta, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Good morning, Jeff. Thank you. Sure. I really appreciate that. It's a beautiful day here in New Mexico. I'm here down in the southern part, so doing another Soil Health Academy event. So thank you for having me.
Sure. So let's talk about soil health and just the general practices. Regenerative farming, I'm going to guess, used to be called just farming, didn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, a lot of times we would, for many, many years, the word sustainable has been pushed around. And I look at the audience and I said, well, you know, I grabbed somebody from the audience. I said, well, how's your marriage? Well, it's sustainable. And the audience starts to laugh. But then when I say, well, if I ask you if you're married, how's your marriage? And you say, well, regenerative, always growing, always dynamic, always getting better, living. That's what regenerative ag is like. What we're teaching is how to emulate nature, to mimic life and biology. So it's taking traction because I grew up in an agriculture, or I went to a college where it promoted using very caustic tools, tillage, chemicals, to control and force nature. Now we're teaching producers, oh, no, you work with it, nurture it, understand its collaborations and synergies. Total different. It's a total different agriculture now. And we have farmers now that are getting off chemicals. They're no more eliminating chemical fertilizer, drastically reducing herbicides, getting rid of fungicides, no more insecticides. It's beautiful. It's a living, dynamic agriculture.
So is sustainability kind of a bare minimum, you're saying then, that regenerative builds upon that concept and goes a lot further?
Oh, absolutely. It's like you can't sustain if something's you're in a hole. Our whole country has degraded soils. Every farm I've been on, and even some of my top regenerative farmers says, you know, I'm still degraded. So why would you want to sustain a degraded state? So we're teaching producers, no, you regenerate, then sustain. We're not in a sustaining mode. And so regenerative agriculture is that dynamic upward trend where we're changing and emulating natural ecosystems. And so it's a total different agriculture.
So what are some of the keys to the practice? You mentioned not using caustics, not a lot of plowing or tilling. What are some of the basic tenets of regenerative farming?
Well, one of the six principles we teach, probably one of the most, is context. Understanding your ecological, cultural, social context, because you're dealing with human beings, and you also have to understand their spiritual context. We deal with a lot of Native Americans, Amish. A lot of type of people have a very spiritual concept and connectedness with the land. Context is everything. We interpret the whole world within context. That's the first thing. If you don't have context right, that the context of the soil is a dynamic living ecosystem. We have schools teaching that the soil's inert material. It's dirt. So context is critical. Two, have a living root. That means have a living plant on that soil as long as possible. Have a skin. I call it armor. Some people call it armor. I call it skin. The plant creates these skins. If you go into forests, you go into prairies, they have this beautiful residue, that skin layer. So that is critical. Living roots, skin, diversity. Nature's diverse. We need to be diverse in our rotations, our animals, our insects, everything, diversity. Animal integration is also very critical. That's another principle. And the last principle is careful with your physical and chemical and biological disturbances. What do I mean by that? Excessive tillage is destructive to the ecosystem. Chemicals, excessive insecticides and fungicides and herbicides and chemical fertilizer are also harmful to the ecosystem. Overgrazing, over application of manure, is understanding how to use the tools correctly.
Ray Archuleta is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is a big booster of regenerative farming. He is the founder of Understanding Ag and Soil Health Academy and travels the country for Soil Health Academy events. He was in the Rogue Valley a couple of weeks ago. We missed him on that trip, but have a chance to catch up with him now. And you can, too. Join the conversation on the Exchange about regenerative farming. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So I want to come back to the idea of the living root, the skin, the armor. So I think the idea that, you know, people are going to look out every so often and see the brown fields freshly plowed, you're talking about never having that situation, it sounds like, in regenerative ag.
Oh, absolutely. That is a very, a bare field is probably one of the most destructive things you can have on the planet because there's no energy flow. The ancient people used to call the plant the mouth of the soil. If you have no living plant in that, that means microbes are not getting fed. If you're not feeding soil biology, you're not getting nutrient cycling, you're not building house, you're not building aggregation, you're not building structure. You have a system that's absolutely in a state of inertness because there's no flowing energy. And that energy comes from the sun that changes all that light energy into chemical energy that feeds copious amounts of carbonaceous molecules that feed biology and start that life process. So if you have no living plant, you're not getting any nutrient cycling. You're not going to get an effective water cycle. So having a living plant is absolutely critical.
So the living plant is really the catalyst, you're saying, for all the processes in the soil.
Oh, absolutely. It's the conduit. Mm-hmm. It's the conduit of life. Without the living plant, there would be no life. I have a saying, if you take the plant out, plant biology out, and you take the soil ecology out, you have geology. Biology modifies geology. You can't even call it soil without that word life there. And so without that plant, you can't feed the soil life.
So let's talk about your career. Over the time you spent working with the federal government, were you able to talk about regenerative agriculture? I'm just trying to figure out where it came into your own life.
Well, it came through much consternation. I think about 15, 16 years into working with the federal government, I knew something was absolutely horrific wrong in agriculture. Farmers were going broke. We had spent trillions of dollars trying to fix our water quality issues. Sediment is still, erosion is still the number one water quality problem in the nation. We've been doing this since 1935. NRCS used to be called Soil Erosion Service. Mm-hmm. They changed it to Soil Conservation Service. And we would still have waters that were filled with sediment, and the sediment would carry the phosphorus and the chemicals attached to it, and the farmers were still going broke. And I was just getting very frustrated, and it was almost like a state of depression. I said, like, something's wrong. And I think I had an epiphany. An epiphany happened in 2007 of listening to Gabe. I went to Gabe Brown's ranch in North Dakota and reading Alan Savory's book on holistic management made me realize, oh my gosh, 8 years of college and I missed it. I absolutely missed it. It's about soil life. It's about soil ecology. It's about ecology. And I, believe it or not, after 8 years of school, I had a very, very, I was taught agriculture in the wrong premise. And so that's what happened. My premise was to control it, force it, manipulate it, genetically splice it, but not to nurture it, understand it, and to love it. So that was a total different premise.
So essentially you're saying that modern agriculture is like a factory upon the landscape, not a part of the landscape.
Absolutely. It was built on a wrong foundation. If our agriculture was built on that emulates natural ecosystems, it would be absolutely more beautiful, more elegant. It would be not a factory thought agriculture. Our people would be healthy, because we said, look, if you have healthy soil, you have a healthy plant, you have a healthy human, you have a healthy climate, you have healthy water. It's all interconnected. And so it would totally look different on the landscape. Now it looks like scars in the landscape, and there's a giant desiccation in rural America, where the blessings of the land, the money flowed through the farmer and rancher, and it flowed to the local gas station. It flowed through the local rural community. Now, all the money flows through corporate America to the tool makers, the the tractor makers, the equipment makers, the chemical makers. And I'm not opposed to those tools. But the wealth doesn't go to the producer. It doesn't go to the local community. It would be a total different agriculture.
So are most of the things that you think are done wrong, when you compare conventional and regenerative agriculture, are they sins of omission or sins of commission?
Both. They're both. They're both sins of commission and omission. What we do is, as humans, and this is my humble opinion, we want something for nothing. We want as much as possible. And then we want to force the system. We want yield, yield, yield. And the commission part came is that the omission part is that when you don't set things in the right premise, when your things are, then you do things wrong in the system. It wasn't thought out, and we didn't get in. We didn't think things out clearly. We thought from a human perspective that wow, we have it together. Our whole thing is about feeding people, and the reality is, I always get blowback. Says, "Well, we can't feed people with regenerative ag," and I said, "Well, that's not true." I was an ex-Peace Corps volunteer, and I will tell you, most people don't realize that most of the world is fed with less than 5 to 7 acres on small farms, and so it was a lot of things that we didn't teach correctly. Omission in the colleges. We, again, if you sit the wrong foundation, you come out with the wrong result. And we didn't teach a proper agriculture. We didn't teach one that nurtures nature, works with nature, but to control it. So it was both. And it still perpetuates that. It's still being perpetuated all over the world.
Ray Archuleta is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a soil scientist of many years' practice who was retired from the Federal Natural Resources Conservation Service and now is the co-founder of Understanding Ag and Soil Health Academy, talking about regenerative agriculture across the country. You can join the conversation on the Exchange at 800-838-3760. Ask your questions, make your comments there, or send them in an email to jx@jeffnet.org. We learned a lot of lessons the hard way, didn't we? Like not plowing up the Great Prairies, for example.
Oh, yeah. I think if you watch in the early years when the drought was massive, we had the Dust Bowl. The Dust Bowl was really created with a little bit of a typical dry year, huge explosion in the cost and the value of wheat, because the Russians had a great a failure of a wheat production, and wheat was very brought in a lot of money. And people thought the wrong concept, oh, if we plow the soil, we'll just bring the rain, and bad practices. And we plowed a lot of pasture, and we got rid of the horse, and we went to a tractor. Not that the tractor was a bad tool, but everything was plowed, bad drought, expensive wheat, and then all of a sudden you had this horrible, terrible effect of massive drought, wind blowing, destroying of the soil structure, and then most of the prairie blue. It was an absolute disaster. It was many multidimensional things occurred for that disaster to happen. It wasn't just one thing, but many things that occurred that caused this.
So in a case like that, in any case where you really have done some damage to the soil, how resilient is it once damaged with the ecosystem disrupted? Can it get back to where it was without help, or does it need a little assistance from humans?
Oh, we need to be engaged. See, you can't heal the... That's why the number one soil health principle is the human context. We are part of the ecology, and I think where we failed in our schools, the economists forget the ecology, and the ecologists forget the human. We're part of the ecology. You cannot exclude us. And so we need to be part of that. And so what we've raised now is called fear-based ecology, where nature's going to try to control us, we're going to lose, and the insects are going to eat us. That's fear-based ecology. We were taught fear-based ecology. I have to come out there with my weapons of destruction, my tillage and all these evasive tools. But there was no realizing, no, it's designed to work with us, to collaborate with us and synchronize with us. And so we are products of fear-based ecology, and that's not helpful. And exclusion of humans in the natural system, that's ridiculous.
So what would be some of the first steps that somebody like you would undertake in a place where the soil has been damaged?
One of the first things we do is, that's why we created the Soil Health Academy, is farmers and ranchers teaching ecologically based concepts. I have this saying, unless the mind and the heart changes, the land will not change. The land is a reflection of your understanding. You've got to first understand what you're dealing with and not be ignorant how it works. That is critical. Then applying the first principles. My first thing is going to interface with the farmer and the human being and say, where's his understanding? Where's his level? The number one goal, right off the top of bat, is to get people to understand your job is to emulate nature. That simple. And then we show them the template. And then the five principles emulate that. Cover, living root, the skin, diversity, animals integration. These are all things from the natural ecosystem the system has taught us. So the first thing is to change the way the person thinks. That's number one.
So I noticed a couple of mentions in regenerative agriculture, and you mentioned yields yourself already about the concept of farmers feeding the world. Are you convinced that we're asking too much of the soil in any one place?
Yeah, I think what's happening right now in the United States is we're shipping our nutrients and our water all over the world to feed the world. Well, that's bunk. Let the world feed itself. Let's teach regenerative principles through Africa, China, everywhere, and not destroy our soils. Our issue is we have way too many cropping acres, and we should have more pastoral systems, more regenerative systems. And now what we're doing is we're pushing the system way too hard. You're exactly right. We're out-farming our natural ecosystem. Like, for example, if you live in western Kansas, you should have more pastoral range systems or more grazing animals that emulate buffalo should be in that system. And rarely should you be taking any of the land out into cropping system. And if you do, it's with animal integration. Farming in ecological context, that's what we're saying.
All right, so not to try to impose, you know, that we want to grow corn here in a place that wouldn't naturally grow corn.
Yeah, and Gabe Brown and I've actually done some talks. I said, guys, why are you trying to grow corn here? Okay, if you want to grow wheat, fine, but do it this way. Why don't you do 3, 4, 5 years of multi-species mixes, permanent prairie grasses surrounding, interlaid with grazing animals? Then if you do your occasional wheat, it can handle that acute disturbance once in a while. But to do it the same thing all the time, monoculture wheat, the system collapses. And then you have failure, and then farmers go broke.
Ray Archuleta is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about regenerative farming. He is the founder of Understanding Ag and Soil Health Academy. Spent 30 years with the Federal Natural Resources Conservation Service. Questions, comments from you, welcome at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Have an email here from John and Eugene, who wants to know, how do we plant annual crops without exposing at least some bare soil? He says, carrots won't grow through my cover crop. That again from John and Eugene.
Absolutely. That's a good question. What we have now is that in smaller areas like that, in small gardens, I do the lasagna garden where I use wood chips or old rotten bales. I do a no-till lasagna garden. And you're right. When you have carrots and the small seed, that is a challenge. What we're saying, if you do have bare soil, the first thing to do is put a nice wood mulch on it or a skin layer so it doesn't crust, or an old rotten bale, that can help, and then you can spread that. In the smaller gardens, we do have people that are doing more no-till vegetable garden. Case in point, Paul and Liz, Elizabeth on Singing Frog Farms, Kaisers, do a no-till 3-acre vegetable garden farm. And they make $110,000 an acre, $110,000 to $120,000 an acre on vegetables, and they got 3 acres.
Dollars, you're saying?
Yeah, dollars. Yeah.
Wow. So this is one of the things you talk about too, is that people won't make as much food, but they'll make more money.
Oh my gosh! Well, can you imagine? I got a Brian O'Hara from Connecticut, 3 acres, $105,000 an acre on vegetables, all lasagna, compost, no-till. All of them are no-till vegetable gardens.
Does lasagna compost refer to the layers?
Yes, you create a layer like lasagna. You can go on YouTube and type lasagna garden. That's the way my garden is. I don't have a tillage piece of equipment. I will not till the soil. It's too destructive. Destroys aggregates, destroys the fungal network. It's too destructive. So I have this nice layers of carbon. Let the biology do the work.
All right, you got about 2 minutes left to see if you can squeeze in a question here from Jan in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi there, it's Jan. I'm a fellow soil scientist, and I retired in 2015. One of our problems back in the day when I was working was the farm bill. It always encouraged farmers to do kind of the wrong thing, and trying to get them into crop rotation to help rebuild the soil and whatnot. They always wanted to have monocultures. I don't know if you can have kind of talk about that, but that's one of our biggest things is trying to get them into a rotation to help build up the soil, go into no-till and whatnot. I mean, that seems to be one of our biggest things, and they were always farming programs.
All right. Thanks for that, Jan. Appreciate that. So farm policy, does that interfere with trying to institute regenerative agriculture?
He is exactly right. Thank you for that comment. You're exactly right. It's the farm bill does not help. It has been one of our, believe it or not, it's been our nemesis because we've had to work. And being a government employee that had to deal with farm bill for many, many issues, it was not complimentary. It keeps people in monoculture systems. He's absolutely right. To initially, like EQIP program for NRCS, the EQIP program was designed that you would try new practices like no-till. But what happened is it became more like giving money out, but we didn't have enough an army of educated, ecologically focused people to push people down this way. And so now we are getting some change in the farm bill that soil health is mentioned. So when you see the word soil health in the farm bill, I want you to think about biomimicry and farming like nature. So it is changing, but our current farm bill is not helpful.
All right,
life needs to change.
Mimic life and biology, the basic tenet here in regenerative agriculture, pushed by Ray Archuleta, who is the founder of Understanding Ag and Soil Health Academy. Thanks so much for joining us on the Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff, and I love the way you said that. Mimic life. Thank you so much.